Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين.
Then praise be to Allah, Lord of the heavens and Lord of the earth, Lord and cherisher of all the worlds. To him be the Al-Kibriya'u, the glory, the greatness, throughout the heavens and the earth. And he is exalted in power, full of wisdom. Salakallahu ladin. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lahu, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa alihi wa sabbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. Again, I have entitled this particular khutbah, The Purity of Faith and Moving Creatures in the Universe. In fact, we would say more precisely, the entire universe. So I'd like to begin by talking to you about the purity of faith. And those of us who are Muslims, we know about the Surah 112 in the Quran. Well, it's entitled, in fact, Al-Ikhlas, Al-Ikhlas. And notice I said Ikhlas instead of Ikhlas. It's Al-Ikhlas. And this particular word is what we call the fourth form verbal noun. And last week I spoke about the fact that I was declaring one of the attributes of Allah as being the grammarian of the grammarians. And I also mentioned that Allah is the best of the creators. And we see clearly in the Quran, Allah is acknowledging that you and I have the ability to create things or to cause things to come into existence that never was before. But the reality is that if we do create something that never was before, we're using Allah's stuff, Allah's brain that he put into us, all of the ingredients that we use, we owe it to our Creator, and highly glorified indeed and exalted is he. So just here in the last few days, I also had it on my mind that Allah says to us in the Quran, Alaysa Allahu bi akamil hakimin, is not Allah the wisest of the judges? So we know clearly that we have judged this and judged that here in this world, and they're not as wise, and they're certainly not as honorable and just and fair as our, praise be to Allah. You know, another ayah in the Quran where Allah says in one of the commonly said du'as that he is the grandest of all the givers. And we know that you can give people things, people can give you things, but they can't give as well and as fine and as grand as Allah, the creator, the Ar-Rahman, the beneficent one, the one who gives all of the benefits to the entire creation. I go now to Surah Al-Ikhlas. So Ikhlas, the word itself, means to be in a state of purity, a state of no admixture, completely pure and undefiled. So I looked this root up, this root word, khalasa. And khalasa means what I just mentioned to you, to be pure, undefiled, and without any admixture. So I went further and saw in the lexicon, named lexicon, where it talked about how when the Bedouin takes the sheep or the cow, pardon me, the cow or the camel, and he milks these particular animals, and when he gets the fat, which is the butter, separated from the liquid part, the cream and the milk that we like to drink, he declares, Chalas, Chalas, that is complete. We got what we want. We got the fat over here, and we got the milk over here. So this indicates that the job is complete that they were going toward, right? So it is with Al-Ikhlas. When Allah gave Muhammad this particular surah, and he explained it to them, they knew and revealed it to them in terms of reciting it to them. They knew what he was talking about. He was telling them clearly that I have separated all of those false gods, those 360 idols that you all have, those gods where you make them out of oatmeal and then when you get hungry, you eat them. I've separated that from the belief in the one God, the one creator who is worthy of deification, devotion, and worship. And he's the only being that has that particular property or worthiness of you and I worshiping him and him alone. Praise be to Allah. So the surah goes, the chapter, Kul huwallahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. Translated, say, Allah is commanding you and I to say he is the one and only deity. No, I didn't say he is Allah, did I? I'm translating Allah as the one and only deity. Say he is the one and only deity. Allahu Samad. Abdullah Yusuf Ali says, Allah, the eternal absolute, which may not be clear. Muhammad Asad says in his translation, and I believe it's a very wonderful translation of this particular ayah 2 of Surah 112, that he is the uncaused cause, meaning that he causes everything to come into existence, but he was not caused by any entity. And this is very, very important for you and I to remember. So if we accept that as being true, we're saying that Allah himself has no birth date. He has been here all of the time. And not only that, he did not evolve himself out of triple darkness over eons and eons of time, as the theology of time said in the lecture given by Elijah Muhammad, and has been repeatedly printed by the final call under the leadership of Minister Farrakhan. He says that Allah created himself over eons and eons of time out of triple darkness. So that means that he got better and better as a God. And we know that in the Quran, Allah lets us know that he is a being that is El-Qayyum. He's established and he doesn't change. He doesn't deteriorate. He doesn't weaken and sit down on the job of being the creator. And he is creating, we know, things every day. Allah says, Kulu yawmin huwa fi shan, in the Surah Al-Rahman, chapter 55. And every day, in new splendor, in new creation, does Allah shine. And as I sit here right now, we're living in an expanding universe. Allah is creating new stuff every moment of time. Praise be to Allah. So Allah, again, is the uncaused cause. And then the next verse, 3, says, Lam yalid wa lam yulad. I translate it as, he did not father any children, nor was he born out of anything. It's very important for you to know that Allah uses the strong negative particle, lam, like he's hollering at you and I. I didn't father any children, and I wasn't born out of anything. I wasn't born out of darkness. I wasn't born out of anything. I was here and I have been here all of the time. And we know that this is a rational faith that we have to have. And we have to know that time is not something that goes backward and forward. We know time moves forward, on and on and on. This moment right now will never be found again. In fact, Benjamin Franklin said in a beautiful proverb, lost time is never found again. The next ayah, which is the concluding one, Allah says, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. And there is none like unto him. But there's nothing like God. And that's not a property that's so exclusive to God, because we know that Allah has created every snowflake, every tree leaf, every human being, whether they be quadruplets, twins, or whatever, different. Everything has a uniqueness about it. So we definitely want to give that particular attribute to this creator, that he is a being that there's nothing like him. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. So that negates the idea of God having Jesus as a son. It negates the idea of God being a being that was born out of something. And then the concluding Surah 112, verse 4, is saying to us that there's nothing like him. Praise be to Allah. So we as Muslims, if we follow the meaning of the word Al-Ikhlas, we know that we can get better and better and better at our purity of faith and our sincerity. Also, Al-Ikhlas means sincerity too, our sincerity and devotion to this magnificent deity, the one and only deity that exists in the universe. Praise be to Allah. So I see the time is moving rather fast. I'm going to try to limit this to the 30 minutes or so. But I'd like to turn you now to the second part of what I mentioned as the topic of this particular khutbah, and that is the moving creatures in the universe. So, you know, NASA, the National Space Administration, I forgot, Aeronautic Space Administration, NASA, I think that's what it's called, have always said that there is some kind of life, but there's not life as we know it here on the Earth, given the fact that we have different situations here in terms of distance from the sun in comparison to the other planets and other bodies, celestial bodies that exist in the universe. So one Ramadan, I was reading this particular ayah in Arabic, and I haven't read the whole Quran in Arabic and tried to read and understand all of the meanings of the various words that I have come in contact with in the Quran. My vocabulary is somewhat limited. But at any rate, this particular Ramadan, I looked at this particular ayah 42:29. And it says in English, which is really plain, but it didn't hit home until I started reading it in Arabic, what this particular ayah is saying. And it says in English, and among his signs, well, let's say the translation of Abdullah Yusuf Ali reads, and among his signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth and the living creatures that he has spread out in the both of them, or through the both of them. And he has the power to gather them together whenever he wills. So again, Allah is saying that he has given us signs in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the living or moving creatures. The word that's used is dabatun. And dabatun, if you look it up, means something that moves by its own motor skills. Could be a roach or an ant. That's a moving creature. So Allah is telling you and I that he is batha, he has scattered out all of these moving creatures in the entire universe. And you notice he said heavens, and among his signs is creation of the heavens and earth and the living creatures that he has scattered out, batha, through them. And he has the power to gather them together whenever he wills. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَثَّ فِيهِمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ وَهُوَ عَلَى جَمْعِهِمْ إِذَا يَشَاءُ قَدِيرٌ. Now, we've already given you the fact that Allah has revealed that he has spread it out moving creatures. And so I sometimes say in lectures on this particular subject, there may be some Jupiterians up there, some Martians, and so on and so forth. And one of the brothers came to me one time and said, what you doing talking about Jupiterians and all of that? Like he was, joking, like, I don't believe that's existing. But we know from this Quranic verse, and we believe the whole of the Quran, that Allah is telling you and I that there are moving creatures up in those seven layers that we know that Allah refers to in this glorious Quran, Quran and Majid. And the concluding part of this particular ayah really brings the point home to me, and I appreciate very much that Allah has indicated what I'm about to tell you. Allah is saying that He has the power to cause a jamihim. A jamihim is their joining. A juma, their joining. Allah is saying to you that He can cause some communication, some contact with us earthlings, with the moving creatures that exist in the 70 layers of the heavens above us. And then He uses the particle either, which means when, but it means inevitably when. Like, this is going to happen. And then Allah says, whenever He wills, He has the power and the ability to make this jamihim, their joining, to cause a jumu'ah, if you will, between us and some of the moving creatures that exist in the seven heavens. And I find it very, very striking to my spirit and my mind that this particular ayah is in the surah called Shurah. And Shurah means mutual, pardon me, consultation. So perhaps Allah is indicating to us earthlings, when we get ourselves fit and ready to meet His other creatures, then it will occur. We're fighting like cats and dogs here on the earth, and I don't think we will be ready to receive any visitors at this juncture. But Allah knows best. But surely Allah is clearly telling us in this particular ayah that He has spread it out, moving creatures that move by their own motor skills in the entire universe, and inevitably it's going to occur that their joining will take place. Praise be to Allah. So after I had read this particular ayah in Arabic and dissected it, if you will, I happened to come across the book called Quranic Sciences by Fazlur Rahman, I believe that's how you pronounce his name. It's called Quranic Sciences. And he was saying the same thing. So if you don't believe me, go to the book called Quranic Sciences, and you'll see this being mentioned, that there's some moving life in the universe. Praise be to Allah. So I'd like to talk to you briefly about a wonderful ayah in the Quran, and it's still tying in with that topic of Allah being the grammarian of the grammarians. And this is the first ayah of Surah 25, where Allah reveals to Baraka Levi Nazala Furukana Ala Abdi Liyakuna Lil Alamina Nadira. That is, in Abdullah Yusuf Ali's translation, now listen carefully, he says, blessed, he's translating the word tabaraka as blessed, is he who sent down the criterion, the Furqan, that is the do and don't list that I mentioned last week in my lecture called The Creator is the Grammarian of Grammarians. You can find it in the archives on this particular station that I'm coming from, and that is Al Islam in Focus, blogtalkradio.com/Aktab, AKHTABM. Praise be to Allah. And also you'll have it here on Facebook as we are going live now. Praise be to Allah. So, blessed is he who set down the Furqan, the criterion, the do and don't list, that which will give you the ability to have rational discernment as to what is right and what is wrong. And this word, El Furqan, is one of the names of this kitab, this book that Allah has revealed as the final revelation to the whole of humanity. He has sent down this criterion to his servant, to his abd, that it may be an admonition to all the creatures. So, as I mentioned to you before, that these forms of the verbs that Allah uses and forms of the nouns that Allah uses, He deploys them for specific pointed reasons. So in the footnote of this particular ayah 25.1, I read it now, and I'll try to expedite my time here, where Abdullah Yusuf Ali's footnote 3052 says, Tabaraka, the root meaning, is increase or abundance. Here, that aspect of Allah's dealing with his creatures is emphasized, which shows his abundant goodness to all his creatures, in that he sent the revelation of his will, not only in the unlimited book of nature, but in a definite book in human language, which gives clear direction and admonitions to all. And then he says, which is the part that I really want to focus on, the English word blessed hardly conveys that meaning, but I can find no other without departing far from established usage. To emphasize the meaning I have explained, I have translated blessed is, but blessed be is also admissible, as it brings out another shade of meaning that we praise and bless his holy name. So he's telling you and I clearly that the word blessed is not sufficient for him to translate the word tabaraka. So if you were just a basic student, of Arabic, and you know the 61 word patterns that are basic to the Arabic language, right away it would come to your mind that tabaraka is on what we call the pattern of tafa'ala. And tafa'ala and tabaraka gives you and I the idea of some reciprocity, some give and take, some you scratch my back, I scratch your back. Keeping up with the Joneses. The Joneses get an automobile, you want an automobile. So this is the idea of reciprocity being conveyed in this sixth form past perfect tense verb. So in translating this particular ayah more precisely for us, I would say to you, Allah is saying that I am the owner of all the blessings. I give them out, but I take them back. When does he take them back? Or when does he give them out? It relates to how well you and I follow the Furqan that he sent to his Abd Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah is letting you and I know that blessings come and blessings will be taken back if we don't follow this do and don't list that he has sent to his Abd as a moral compass on what we should do and not do in our lives. So Abdullah Yusuf Ali, in my humble opinion, did a disservice by not employing, or if he didn't know it, perhaps we can understand it, but he should have deployed the implications of this sixth form into the translation. He did it in other ayahs where he employed the usage of the sixth form meaning, and I'll give you one of the examples in the surah Al-Hakumul Takathur. Takathur is the sixth form, verbal noun, and he translates it as the mutual rivalry of piling up the good things of this world will divert you and I from the more serious things. So he uses the word mutual to let you know that this is the sixth form verb implication being employed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's much that we could say about the fact that Allah is indeed a grammarian, and you would not be able to appreciate it, nor would I be able to appreciate it, if we don't become students, that is, students of the glorious Quran. And some people are satisfied to be a student of this sheikh, or a student of that sheikh, or a student of that imam. But you should not be satisfied to be a student of someone else, for that is a mediary. You and I want to go directly to the words of the Quran for ourselves and see what Allah blesses us to understand from our diligence in studying the foundations of this language and being an explorer, if you will, of how Allah uses this word and that word and so on and so forth in this glorious Quran that he has revealed to his servant Muhammad, that it may be a message to all of the knowledge bases and to all of the worlds. Praise be to Allah. So let me pause for a moment Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab. Our Lord, cause not our hearts to swerve and deviate after you guided us aright, but bestow upon us mercy from your presence, for surely you are the grandest of the givers. Others give, but Allah is the best of the givers. And we know clearly that Allah is telling you and I, if we understand the message in the Surah 55, that the greatest gift that he's given to the humanity is this Quran. And I read the first portions of that particular surah where Allah reveals, Ar-Rahman, that is, the merciful benefactor, Allama al-Qur'an, Khalaq al-Insan. He teaches the Quran, Allama al-Qur'an, and he does it over and over and over again in an intense way throughout time. And by so doing, in terms of creating this message for us, or I shouldn't say creating this message, but revealing this message to us, he created the human family. So Allah is clearly letting you know that in order for you, in order for me, or anyone to be the man and woman that Allah wants us to be, we must be taught the Quran. Taught it directly from Allah is preferred, but Allah also gives others the ability to teach us some of this Quran. So I hope that I have said something of value to you and of weight to you. And I encourage you, as I encourage myself, to be a lifelong student of the glorious Quran, and let the Quran shape you and grow you and make you into that being that Allah intends for you and I to be. So let me find some ayah or dua that I would like to say to close out this particular khutbah, and it is, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata ayunin waj'alni lil muttaqina imaman. That is, grant unto us, Allah, mates and offspring that will be the comfort of our eyes, and give us the grace to be leaders in having the property of God-fearing reverence for you, the Muttaqin.
I want to bring to our attention achievement, publication that has been produced, and is produced for our community, mainly for our community, but it will serve anybody who wants some help from the material that are put into this publication. And the book is called The Language of Revelation, Lugatul Tanzil, the language of translation. And it is by a brother that I have known to be dedicated and devoted to the study of Quranic Arabic and the teaching of that subject to our students and to grown-ups as well. And that is Brother Sadiq Jahad. I think most of us know of him. Brother Sadiq Jahad, will you please stand and face the audience? So this is Brother Sadiq Jahad. So I highly recommend this book for you all who are studying, grown-ups, but also for our youngsters who are studying in separate organized Quranic studies classes, and who are also studying in the school system, our school system, Claire Muhammad School System, Claire Muhammad Schools, and like the one in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., Chicago, and many places. I highly recommend this book, The Language of Revelation. It's Quranic, Arabic, with lessons, studies, to improve your ability to read the Quran and get more understanding and to qualify yourself, inshallah, to be a teacher one day. Because out of you, from you who are interested in Quranic Arabic, we are going to get our next generation of teachers and imams and leaders, you know. So Allah be with you all and bless you to benefit from these wonderful projects and publications that our community is producing. This is one. We have others. We have others that I have seen, and I'm grateful to Allah for students and scholars like our brother Siddiq Jihad. Congratulations, my brother.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is Imam Siddiq Jihad. You can secure the book by going to our website, www.siddiqjihad.com. That's SIDDEQ jihad.com. Or you can send a postal money order or any type of money order to Post Office Box 401165, Redford, R-E-D-F-O-R-D, Michigan, 48240. My email address is Siddiq, that's SIDDEQ, at MSN.com. And the phone number where we can be reached is 313-532-5246. I thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Want to understand the Quran? Listen to Imam W.D. Muhammad's comments concerning the language of revelation by Siddiq Jihad and go to SiddiqJihad.com or contact him at 313-532-5246 or via email Siddiq, S-I-D-D-E-E-Q, at MSN.com.
Deity but the one deity, Allah alone. There's none like unto him. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave servant and messenger. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Lahu mulku as-samawati wal-ardh. Yuhyi wa yumeetu. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. I seek refuge with Allah from the just Satan. To him belongs the dominion over the heavens and the earth. He gives life and he gives death, and he has power over all things. Amma ba'd. O Muslims, let us give praise and thanks to Allah for bringing us to another day of Jumu'ah. Notice I didn't say Jumu'ah, I said Jumu'ah. And we need to be precise in what we do. And if you look in the Quran and you see the word, you'll see Jumu'ah, you won't see Jumu'ah. You see Jumu'ah. Jumu'ah, I believe that's the chapter 62 of the Quran. So we should be really, really appreciative of Allah that He spared our lives and gave us the opportunity to be here on the day of the congregation. I'd like to begin the khutbah by reciting from a surah called Al Buruj. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Inna batsha rabbika la shadeed. Truly strong is the grip and the grasp and the power of your Lord, or our Lord. Innahu huwa yubdi'u wa yu'id. And it is He who creates and He repeats that which He creates. Wa huwa al-ghafurur al-wadud. And He is the all-forgiving, pardoning one who is full of loving kindness. Allah is a lover. Al-Wadud, that's one of the attributes of Allah. Al-Wadud, He is the lover. Mil-Ashim Majid, Lord of the throne of glory. Doer, professional doer, without let of all that He intends. Barakallahu Ladeen. Almighty God Allah, peace the truth. You think of holding someone's hand tight, hugging our children, hugging our wives, our daughters, our brothers, our sisters. And sometimes the bond is so tight and the feeling is so warm that you don't want to let go. But the grip and the power of Allah is so much stronger and so much more loving than the grip that we can give to each other. So Allah is the epitome, the personification of love. And He creates things from the beginning, as we mentioned, and He repeats it. He renews and restores things. And again, as I said, He is El-Wadud. You find El-Wadud in the Quran only once, in the Surah 85. He's the Lord of the throne of glory, and we say Fa'allu. And for those of you who know something about Arabic, you know Fa'ala is He did. But Allah says that He is Fa'allu. He is the professional doer of all that He does. He does it well. He does it intensely. He does it the best. I guess you say, what is He about to talk about today, you know? Well, my main focus is to talk about love priority. Love priority. And so beautifully, Allah gives it in the Quran what the priorities are in respect to what we should give our love and devotion to. And it says, be patient with me if you would. قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ أَبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَاتُكُمْ وَأَمْثَالُ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين. Very powerful ayah here, O Muslims. And it says, commanding the believers, commanding Muhammad, pray, if it be that your father, your son, your brother, your mate, or your kindred, or the wealth you have gained, or the commerce, the business in which you fear a downfall or a decline, or the houses in which you love and pamper and clean, are more dear to you than Allah or His messenger or the striving in His cause, and Allah gives you a doomsday message, then wait until Allah brings about His decision. And Allah guides not the rebellious. So if you follow that closely, it says, if it be that you love your father, your mother, your wives, your children, your brotherhood, or anything more than you love Allah, His messenger, and striving in His cause, then wait for the decision. So clearly Allah is telling us what the priorities are in respect to love. We have to love Allah first, love His messenger second, then love Jahid Fi Sabilillah, strive in His cause. All of these other things take a back seat to that. Now it's very interesting that the word that's used here is a habba. And a habba means more loving or more desirous, you might say. It's what we call a comparative form. And the root of that is habba, habba. And Allah says in the Quran repeatedly, Inna Allah yuhibbul muhsinin. Surely Allah, he loves He loves the doers of good. Allah makes that very, very clear. He never says, surely I love the Muslims. He says he loves the doers of good. So that suggests to us, O Muslims, that after we submit, then we have to be active in sabilillah, in his cause, in order for us to attain his love. Allah tells us in the Quran, Wallahu la yuhibbul zalimin. And Allah, he does not love the oppressors, those who want to stunt the growth, those who oppress themselves and oppress the populace, those who hold back the people from explaining their love and their good and their striving in the cause of God. So here we see clearly that Allah says to us what I love and what I don't love. So he has discriminated in meeting out or giving out his love. And this is very, very interesting and very, very important for us to understand as a concept from the standpoint that in the love songs of America, they would say to you, oh, just love the person for what they are. No matter what they are, just love them unconditionally. No conditions on the love. I love you even though you don't make salat. My love is just as strong with you whether you make salat or not. If you hit me on my head every now and then, I still love you, baby. You know, this is the idea, I believe, in many people's minds about what true love is. But really, in the final analysis and in the real reality, love for God is the only love that is unconditional. Meaning that if I get hit by a car and got cancer and everything, I never should wane in my love for God. Never. But if a mate or a brother or sister, cousin, homeboy out on the street mistreat me, I have a right not to love that person. I can have sympathy. I can have empathy. I can have pity. I can have regret. But when we talk about love, we're talking about that pure form of love that Allah addresses in the Quran. And again, as I said, Allah says that we should love Him first, His messenger, and Jahid fi sabilillah. Jahidin fi sabilillah. Striving, pardon me, jihadin fi sabilillah. Striving in his cause. And you know, the word hab, H-O-B-B. The word hub is translated as love. And when you go amongst some of the Middle Eastern people from the Middle East, when they address you, they'll say to you sometimes, they say to me a lot, Ya Habibi, oh my beloved. You know, you come into the gas station or something, Ya Habibi. We have a brother amongst us whose name is Habibullah, the lover of Allah. Hab is a word that is used for corn. Al-Habbu. Al-Habbu du'asi wa rayhan. And the corn and the sweet smelling plants that Allah gives. Fabi ayyi ala'i rabbikuma tukadiban. So what we have here, the word hab, for corn. I thought about it this morning. Click just like that. You take one kernel of corn and put it in the ground, you get 8 ears on the plant. That's an epitome of love, isn't it? So you put one kernel in there, Allah gives you 8 stalks. Feed the cattle, feed you, the squirrels, everybody, you know, from this one kernel. That's an example of Allah's love. We find Allah's love in the grape. Karim is great. El Karim, the generous one. El Ikram, the bountiful and generous one. So when we really look at what love is, we know that in order for us to get the benefit out of this creation, out of what Allah has put in us, we have to have love for Him first. And then the other love comes secondarily. And this is very, very important. The devil knows this. I remember when I was, 17 or 18, I can remember right now. I had on a gold shirt and some gold pants. And I was driving in my car, singing the Temptation song, "You're My Everything," thinking about my wife. "You're My Everything." I didn't know any better, you know. But as you go on, you see, well, hey, this woman ain't my everything. This man ain't my everything. These children aren't my everything. Allah is my everything. We have the song, "Love is a Hurting Thing." I would sing that and cause myself to bring some tears out. How love brings so much joy, it brings pain too. You all know about that one, I know. Everybody has some kind of love song that affects their spirit, make them feel good, make them feel sad. But nevertheless, these songs that we have in America and in the world affect our emotional level. I know a particular person who loves to listen to Whitney Houston love songs. And I can see how she can possibly not think about her husband or her fiance day in, day out, 24/7, if you listen to Whitney Houston and her melodic voice talking about love. So I look at this from this standpoint. If we can get all charged up about these love songs, if we start reading some Quran, we can get charged up even more in our love and our appreciation for Allah. I know, because my love has increased for Allah through learning a little bit of Arabiya, for learning this Arabic language. Your love can be increased and developed from learning this language. Allah says in the Quran, "Inna Allaha la yuhibbu man kana kawanan aziman." Surely Allah loves not one who is given to treachery and crime. Allah says, "Inna Allaha yuhibbu mutatahirin." Surely Allah, He loves those who endeavor to purify themselves, those who are clean. And Allah says, "Inna Allaha la yuhibbu mu'tadin." Surely Allah, He does not love those who are bent on wickedness and causing rancor in the land. So you see, Muslims, we have clearly some priorities in respect to how we should give out our love in the land. And we must admit that many of us, the majority of us, including myself, have not strove in the cause in doing dawah, bringing more Muslims into the fold. So Allah is saying that one of the measures of your love for Him is how much dawah you do, how much of your time is spent in encouraging some other brother or sister to come into the deen, loving for your brother and sister what you love for yourself. Let us pick you up. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alamin إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم نستعينك ونستغفرك ونؤمن بك ونتوكل عليك ونثني عليك الكار. O Allah, we seek your help, we ask your forgiveness, we believe in you, we trust in you, and we extol and exalt you in the best manner. In Al-Islam, I read in the lexicon, in the idiom of the language, the Arab, he says, "I love you from the core of my heart." Whereas English, we say, "I love you from the bottom of my heart." Which is better, in the middle or at the bottom? If it's at the bottom, it's almost out of the heart. But the Muslims say, or the Arab, pardon me, says, I love you from the core of my heart. I mean, it's just a basic essence that I have. I love you. You want to say love to you, or you love your wife, or you love a person? Say, Ana uhibbuka. I love you. Ana uhibbuka. You know, when we speak of love, sometimes we think of that three-letter word. And we have to admit that the society has evolved to the point where they have made love synonymous, with the three-letter word. No doubt about it. This love that we're talking about, and this three-letter word need that we have, this is a basic need. It's a basic instinct. A lot of us will not acknowledge that. A lot of us will say, well, I can do without a mate. I've been going all this time, you know? The three-letter word is just like having food. It's a necessity for the psychosomatic health of the human being. It is a necessity for the mental well-being of the human being. Necessity for the proper operation of the nervous system to have a mate. This is a necessity. A lot of us come from very dysfunctional families. I come from a large family, had five brothers, four sisters. My mother, she couldn't give out a whole lot of equal love to all nine of us. The ones that gripe the most for the new dresses at graduation day and all of that were the ones that got it. We had, you know, a bond, but when we speak of love, there's a lot of rivalry. We get a lot of fighting. But yet, when someone came into the family and tried to fight one of us, all of us jumped. It was ready to go. So we had a real uncanny, you know, kind of love. We loved each other to a point where it was the kind of love that was consistent. So I'm saying this, you know, as an to you brothers and you sisters, to get married. The Bible only says it's better to marry than to burn. We know the song say, "All people to people." I was just in a class to say to you that the reason why we marry and try to stay there is because we don't want to burn. That would be the more of a priority for us to look at. Praise be to Allah. And you know, a lot of us, sisters and brothers included, a lot of times say, well, look, I like that brother over there. I like that sister over there. But she's too heavy. She ain't pretty enough. You want the finest thing you can find, you know? And I always think about in Islam how Dr. Shaka used to talk about Al-Jahiz. Al-Jahiz is a great scholar in Al-Islam. But he was an ugly man. They would go and listen to him and be taught by him. They didn't want to look at him, though. Nobody wanted to look at the man. But they loved Jahiz. They loved him for what he had to offer internally. So I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, if you can find someone that has some good internalness, internal characteristics, that blind, crippled, crazy, I don't want to say it like that, but that's the latest. You don't want to go like that. But if you can find one that has basic love characteristics, and you say, look, you want to make a pact and agreement that you and I are going to love Allah first, then His Messenger second, and then striving in His cause third, let's go for it. If that's the priority, how will it not work? If you encourage her to make salah, she encourage you to make salah, encourage you to love the Messenger, and think of the goodness and the nobility and the struggle that Muhammad made and the Sahabas made, and then striving His cause, it should work. If this happens, Your brothers will begin to know how to love. Your sisters will begin to know how to love each other. And we can establish a Ummatul Wahida, a Muslim community. A lot of us, the reason why we have problems with each other is because we're so frustrated because we don't have someone to hold us, someone to comfort us in the times when we feel down, in the times when we want to go back to that time when mama used to hold us and cover us and gave us all their attention. We still have that as human beings, as adults. Any man to tell you they don't like to be hugged, or any woman to tell you they don't like to be hugged, something is wrong. Something is wrong. So I'm encouraging you, old Muslims, to get married. Let us get married. And then after getting married, let us have a marriage of the Ikhwan, a marriage of the brotherhood. That's what we want, old Muslims. And even in the time of Islam, I'll be through very short. Even in the time of Islam, they had the love poets around that were trying to deter the people from loving Allah more. There's some beautiful poetry about the guy by the name of Khalif. I wish I remembered the poem, but there's a beautiful poem in Arabic literature on a guy by the name of Khalif and his love for a particular woman. So I'm encouraging you to recognize that if you get yourself into a situation where you begin to love a human being more than you love Allah, more than you love driving in His cause, Allah says, wait for the decision. But if we just go ahead and do what Allah says, we won't have to worry about the decision. See, when we talk about doomsday or trying to invoke right posture in people, we don't have to deal with it from the doomsday aspect. We can deal with it from the positive aspect and what will be the benefit if we do what Allah has said. So we ask you, O Muslim, to not look at the talk of the fire and all of that to scare you into righteousness, but use the knowledge and the utility that Allah has set forth in the Quran and the bounty that He has given so that you can save yourself and your family from a fire that is men and stones. Let us make dua. Rabbi habli hikma wa hikam bisarihi waj'alli lisana fikin qu'akirin waj'alli min warathati jannatin na'im waqfir li abi innahu kana min adh-dhalimin wa la tukhzini yawma yub'athun. Our Lord, bestow upon us wisdom and unite us with the righteous. Grant us honorable mention on the tongue of truth among the leaders of the generation. Make us inheritors of the garden of bliss. And forgive our forefathers for they were those who were astray. And do not let us be in disgrace on the day that humanity will be raised for the judgment. Amen. Amen.
الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا صراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. الرحمن علم خلق الإنسان علمه البيان الشمس والقمر بحسبان والنجم والشجر يسجدان والسماء رفعها ووضع الميزان ألا تنزعوا في الميزان وأقم الوزن بالقسط ولا تكسروا الميزان وأرضى وضعها للأنام فيها فتية والنفذة الأحلام والحب ذو أخ وريحان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين هو الله أحد الله صمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر
I want to bring to our attention achievement publication that has been produced and is produced for our community, mainly for our community, but it will serve anybody who wants some help from the material that are put into this publication. And the book is called The Language of Revelation, Lugatul Tanzil, the language of translation. And it is by a brother that I have known to be dedicated and devoted to the study of Quranic Arabic and the teaching of that subject to our students and to grown-ups as well. And that is Brother Sadiq Jahad. I think most of us know of him. Brother Sadiq Jahad, will you please stand and face the audience? So this is Brother Sadiq Jahad. So I highly recommend this book for you all who are studying grown-ups, but also for our youngsters who are studying in separate organized Quranic studies classes and who are also studying in the school system, our school system, Claire Muhammad school system, Claire Muhammad schools, and like the one in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., Chicago, and many places. I highly recommend this book, The Language of Revelation. It's Quranic, Arabic, with lessons, studies to improve your ability to read the Quran and get more understanding and to qualify yourself, inshallah, to be a teacher one day. Because out of you, from you who are interested in Quranic Arabic, we are going to get our next generation of teachers and imams and leaders, you know. So Allah be with you all and bless you to benefit from these wonderful projects and publications that our community is producing. This is one, we have others that I have seen, and I'm grateful to Allah for students and scholars like our brother Siddiq Jihad. Congratulations, my brother.
Bismillahi Rahmanir Rahim. This is Imam Siddiq Jihad. You can secure the book by going to our website, www.siddiqjihad.com. That's SIDDEQ jihad.com. Or you can send a postal money order or any type of money order to Post Office Box 401165, Redford, Redford, Michigan, 48240. My email address is Siddiq, that's SIDDEQ, at MSN.com. And the phone number where we can be reached is 313-532-5246. I thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.